This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yes, indeed. Back on our Friday, February 21st edition of Sports Talk, getting ready for Pelicans basketball. Coverage starts 7 o'clock, 7:30 tip-off in Dallas this evening. And you think the Pels are shorthanded. Man, oh man, you look at that Dallas roster. They are wiped out, especially their big men.
Yeah, I felt good about it. I actually thought the Anthony Davis deal was going to be fun for them for like 5 minutes, and then it turns out, nope. Because you just got that version of Anthony Davis, the one that never plays.
Street clothes.
Yeah. But, you know, I fully expect Kyrie Irving to go off for like 60. Like, that is one thing. Like, Kyrie's head case in general, he is one of the most entertaining basketball players to watch on the planet. Like, there's a reason that other NBA players always vote like Kyrie Irving is one of the most talented NBA players, because it's like they appreciate the things that he does are just weird. So, you watch a game where they don't have any big men, and it's like, oh, so we're just going to get do-it-all Kyrie? All right, that's actually worth watching on its own, even when the Pelicans lose by 30.
I'm hoping we get to see Zion Williamson put on a show today. That'd since be nice. Aren't those bigs around. Hopefully he can get 40 points for the Pels. They're going to need it tonight.
He's going to shoot 40 free throws probably, because that's the only way they're going to be able to stop him is by literally tackling him in the lane.
And curious to see now, too, coming off this All-Star break, will the Pels ramp up his minutes at all, because he's been on that restriction for a while now?
Probably not. Like,
what's the point of trying to win?
Why
I
do
get
you benefit
it.
At this point? You're just trying to make sure, like, okay, he's still in good shape. Like, I feel like the minutes restriction is funny, because I don't think he even needs it. I think at this point it's just sensible, right? Like, you have 27 games left, and the only thing that can go wrong from here that hasn't already gone wrong is guys, you know, DeJounte Murray tears his Achilles.
Herb Jones got an injury, right?
Yeah, I mean, Herb Jones, I mean, he basically lost his entire season. What, he played in like 5 games total? We'll see. I think this is all building towards next year, the Cooper Flagg season.
It's just tough to...
And yes, I'm a big Cooper Flagg fan.
It's tough to stomach the lost season, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I'm into college basketball, man. Watch Auburn, Arkansas the other night. It is weird seeing John Calipari. I always forget. I'm like, oh, it's Eric Musselman's not there anymore. Now it's John Calipari wearing those weird red blazers. Do you think he had a red blazer already, or he went to the red blazer store and just got like 30 of them?
Oh, he definitely went to the red blazer store. Yeah, he wasn't having those beforehand at Kentucky.
I don't know. He's coached a lot of teams. He used to coach at UMass. Maybe he broke out the UMass gear.
He might maybe still fit him, right?
Hey, get a UMass. Yeah, he probably didn't fit. He probably had to get him tailored. I haven't watched a ton of Auburn, and I know I hijacked this NBA conversation with a college conversation. I wasn't that impressed. That's the number one team in the country, and I was like, this is a beatable. Like, there is no dominant college basketball team this year. Like, the NCAA tournament is going to be fun, because you're going to get, like, I mean, like UConn. I've watched a lot of UConn. They're going to be like an 8 seed, and I still feel good about it. I still feel like they could run the table as an 8 seed because
they're tested.
Like last year, it was basically UConn, Purdue the entire way. And you're like, all right, if any other team gets there, it'll be a massive upset, right? And it ended up being UConn, Purdue in the championship. And it, as it turned out, UConn was way better than Purdue. There is not a single team in college basketball that is even close to as dominant as either of those teams were last year. There's no big man like Zach Edey that you're like looking at like, oh gosh, how are you going to defend him? You know, it's just a lot of really competitive teams, you know, and I think college basketball has benefited from the transfer portal more than any other sport, because what you ended up getting is like all these teams with sixth year, you know, veteran programs. Like John L. Davis is on Arkansas now. He was on Florida Atlantic when they went to the Final Four, right? So he's just there. And it's like, oh, okay. Now I don't think Arkansas is going to make the tournament. But, I mean, they had Auburn, I wouldn't say on the ropes, but they had a lead against Auburn with like 3 minutes left in that game. Like they took him down to the wire in Auburn. So I don't know. All this is to say I think the SEC is overrated in general. They're going to get like 12 tournament teams in. I think half of them are going to be gone by the first weekend. Auburn's going to make it to the Elite Eight. I don't think they are a championship team. Alabama's good, not great. I actually think Kentucky is the best team in the SEC. So if you're filling out your brackets, that is my endorsement. Is I think Kentucky is going to be an Elite Eight team, and I think they could be the kind of like, I don't want to say surprise Final Four team because they're Kentucky. Sure. But I think Kentucky could win the whole thing.
When you look at the struggles of the LSU men's basketball team,
that's right, LSU exists.
You're hearing though they remain committed to Matt McMahon.
You have to.
And you're gonna dump more NIL money into the program. Hopefully they can catch up with the Joneses here, because it'd be nice to have some relevant men's hoops.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just bail on. I mean, you kind of set him up to fail, and he failed. And you know, it's tough because when you're not devoting enough resources to the program, you're not going to be able to pull these top prospects. And you know, that's why it's like, you know, I've said this before. Like, I wish they could get Will Wade back. They won't. They can't. But you know who's going to be in the NCAA tournament again?
Yeah, baby McNeese.
I don't know if they're going to win any games. Last year, I made the mistake of thinking like, oh, they're going to go upset Kansas or whoever they played.
Is this the last year you think Wade though sticks around McNeese?
I think he's got to be looking at bigger and better things, right? Like his at a certain point, you know, his name is kind of mud for a while.
Sure.
And so he had to kind of. But I mean, Rick Pitino. If Rick Pitino can get no job, and obviously Rick Pitino is a much higher profile name, but he like when you weigh like the stuff Rick Pitino was doing versus stuff Will Wade was doing, like Rick Pitino was into way weirder stuff. And you know, he's at St. John's now, and St. John's is ranked. You know, he kind of brought that program back from nothing. I have to imagine Will Wade's going to end up back at a major program, not in not too distant future.
We talked a little bit about hockey in this show, and from 1509 on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, you guys need to make sure there is no hockey in NOLA when they should be working on getting back the name Jazz from Utah. Well, I agree with one part of that statement, at least.
What? How would we go about doing that?
How would we do it,
yeah,
right?
What would be our method to making sure no hockey ever arrives here? Should we go out and, like, you know... You know,
our deep pockets not investing.
Yeah. That's you know, yeah. It's true. If I'm not into it, it's not going to happen. You know, if I don't endorse it, they will not show up here. I mean, it's not happening. Let's be real. There's not going to be a hockey team in New Orleans. We can't support a basketball team. How are we gonna get a hockey team in here?
I would love to see it though. I mean, I can dream.
I guess I don't know. Like, do people really want to go be cold in a hockey arena? You're going to have to renovate the Smoothie King Center, add ice under the floor. Like, are we going to do that? I don't think so. I just don't see it.
It could use an upgrade.
What I will say is, you know, it's not just a cold weather sport anymore. Like, there's a lot of warm weather. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, won, like, what, two titles in a row?
Yeah.
Like, Florida Panthers are up there. The Vegas Golden Knights are, you know,
winning
titles.
They were an expansion team and did well.
You know, so it's not like they can't exist in this part of the country. But I think I saw, like, The Louisiana has like fewer than 200 like registered hockey players. It's like the second fewest in the country next to Mississippi, which would be the other state that you'd be like, oh, they're going to come and support.
We're an untapped resource right here. They don't even know about.
They just don't pay attention to hockey down here. Like, I don't know. I don't see it.
We'll get back more into our NBA talk after the break. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel will join us, one of our favorites on this program, right after this on WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We are chilling on this frigid Friday here on Sports Talk, and happy to welcome in on the line with us NBA Sports Insider for Odyssey, Nick Friedel. Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Nick, thanks as always for your time. How you been doing, man?
Guys, it is great to be with you. Yeah, the All-Star break is good. I'm actually out in San Francisco right now. I still can't believe that the Warriors actually landed Jimmy Butler, but I'm trying to get over what we all watched on Sunday, because that All-Star game, man, I used to wake up on All-Star weekend on Sunday and be like, hey, this is going to be pretty cool. And now to see what it has become.
Yeah, you saw the NHL stealing a ton of thunder after what they got to go through with their tournament. Do you have any kind of ideas for a fix, what the NBA can do for All-Star weekend?
Sadly, I don't think there is a major one. I really don't. And I say that as somebody who's loved the league my whole life. It has gotten to a point now where we all know that they're just not trying in right. that game. And there are moments, certainly, at the end of a handful of games over the last 10 or 15 years where it was fun and it was exciting and you thought, all right, well, maybe this will translate into next year and maybe this will be the start of something new. It's just not. So I know there are some people that say, okay, well, U.S. versus the world, and that might be fun as a one-off, but these guys all see what it's become. And so you can split them up any way you want. You can't make somebody try hard if they don't really want to try hard and be out there. And the name recognition that comes with being an All-Star is much better than actually being in the game. It's really sad because it's such a marquee event for the league still, and it makes the NBA so much money. But I really don't see it as a fix, but I say that also realizing full well it's not going anywhere either. So they're going to try more stuff, but I just don't think it's going to matter.
Hey, they could take a page out of the NFL's book and like play dodgeball or something. Maybe that would get some more entertainment value.
You never know. You never know.
Okay. So, speaking of someone who was at the All-Star game and suddenly is in the headlines for completely different reasons, Victor Wembanyama, he's dealing with deep vein thrombosis. He's done for the year. It's a scary thing. Brandon Ingram went through it. A few years ago, Chris Bosh had a similar issue. He had to retire early because of it. What can you just kind of give us the lowdown on what's going on with Vic?
I think the biggest issue for Wembanyama in the moment and the reason why they shut him down for the year is, as far as I can tell, guys, you can't be on a blood thinner and play, because if something were to happen, and something catastrophic were to occur on the floor, you just can't have that situation play out for the league. So as far as what we've heard, it does sound like the Spurs think he's going to be okay. He'll be ready to go next year. But again, and this is from a broader league standpoint, but this is the sad part. We're sitting here talking about the All-Star game, and Wembanyama actually really played hard. You could see him out there. You know, he was winded. He was trying to get everybody else around him to set a different tone. So many people in the league wanted him to be one of the new faces of the league. And when you have to sit somebody out for an injury for a couple months, that just stops the momentum that might have been there already. So one more time for the NBA, they've got to find a different answer. The problem is that we just don't know who that answer may be as another face. But in the short term, it's a real setback for everybody involved. You just hope for Wembanyama's case that he responds to the treatment and that he's back out there, because he really is a one-of-one type player. We just have never seen somebody like him, and it was very obvious, especially on the defensive end, that he was coming into his own the more games he played.
Mentioned briefly there, Brandon Ingram, obviously the trade for the Pelicans was a necessity, something they had to do. Overall, though, what did you think about the haul they did get in return for B.I.?
About what you would expect, right, when you just don't want to pay a guy moving forward. And you don't want to give him that max extension that he was looking for. I mean, if you're the Pelicans, it was so obvious, guys, in the last year and a half, 2 years, that they really liked Ingram, but did they want to build around him and pay him what it took? I never got that sense. And so when you make that move and you get back what they did, you know, okay. I guess it's kind of one of those deals where you know you're not going to keep him. You know you don't want to be financially stuck to that new deal. Well, so you have to do what you have to do. But when you're making those kind of moves, the hard part for any team is everybody else knows you're making those kind of moves in the league. The return was what it was, but I don't think anybody is running down the doors to praise the Pelicans for that one, except for they got off the money that was coming his way.
Yeah, they got something, right? Like, I think that was what people were worried about, is he was just going to walk away and you were going to get nothing out of it. So, hey, I think it's a top four protected pick. You know, you can at least say, you know, we made out what we made out with, and we're moving forward. Whatever that looks like, you could lose your final 27 games. I don't think anyone would be mad about it. I think people might be happy about it, because it probably means you're getting Cooper Flagg into the building. But hey, that is what it is. You know, game going on right now. Cavs and Knicks. Javonte Green, Pelicans waived him. Looks like he's going to sign with the Cavs. So it's an interesting place for him to go, because I think the Cavs, if you're looking at the East, they're the number one team now. You know, I grew up in the North, so I'm a big Celtics guy, and I kind of feel like the Celtics are just kind of lying there in wait, like, yeah, okay, we're going to win however many games we win, and then we're going to go to the playoffs, we're going to start playing defense again, and y'all are going to lose. But, you know, what are your thoughts on the Cavs? And obviously they're playing the Knicks, and the Knicks are the 3 seed. They're going to be the other team in the mix. Do you think the Cavs are a legitimate threat to win a title this year? It seems like they are structured the way you need to be structured, with, you know, the stars, the scorers, the bigs, the depth, to really give it a legit shot.
I don't believe in the Cavs, not as legit title contenders. And I might be flatly wrong on that, guys, a few more months from now, because Kenny Atkinson and that staff have done an unbelievable job getting that team prepared for what continues to come their way. I mean, they're just knocking off everybody that they face, it seems, night by night. But when you're a young team trying to come together in the postseason, I've always believed that it takes at least a couple years for you to really find your way. And I really like Donovan Mitchell. I think he's a solid player, but I don't think he is better than the top of that Celtics group, and they just did it a year ago. So there is that muscle memory of, all right, we're back in the playoffs. We know how good we are, and we want to repeat. So I would be really surprised if Cleveland got all the way through the East. I'm just thinking Boston is a better team. Cleveland might be a better story, but until they show it in the postseason, I'm not buying their stock long term.
Yeah, and the thing about the Celtics is it's easy to look at them now and be like, oh, yeah, they're the best team. But, like, one of the reasons I feel like that way is because they've gone – you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, it feels like they've lived in the Eastern Conference Finals over their entire career. It's honestly insane to look at how many playoff games that duo has been in, and they're only in, like, their mid-20s. And I think that's what you're kind of talking about there is, you know, the Cavs haven't had those learning experiences. Like, they might break through the way the Celtics did – a few years back and weren't ready to take down the Warriors, but I think that learning in the playoffs is an entirely different story to being able to win 50-plus games in the regular season because it's a completely different game in the playoffs.
That's exactly right. And when you watch through time, rare is the team that gets in there and can really break through. I mean, a couple years ago, guys, everybody thought, all right, Cleveland's got a nice young group. Let's see how they do, and remember they lost to the Knicks in the first round. Then last year, they see a very young Magic team. It's kind of the same theme, who'd never been there before, and they just get by them in seven games. So they've had a few moments together now. I just don't believe that, like, the Darius Garlands of the world could take their game to some different point than what we've seen in the postseason. I also think, like any team, it seems, in the last few years that has tried, there is a little bit of a hangover that comes after you win. That young group of the Celtics with Tatum and Brown, for so long, can they do it? Are they going to do it? Can they actually break through? They lost to the Warriors a few years back. All they did was turn the ball over in the finals, so they would have won that one. Well, they finally did, and I think there was so much relief baked in that they went, okay, let's just get through this regular season, go through the motions a little bit, and then get to the playoffs. We're going to see what happens here in a couple months, but to me, in the East, it's Boston and everybody else.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your new home at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details.
Nick, I'm going to hop in here and ask you about the Phoenix Suns. The Pelicans have a couple games with them next week, and Phoenix is just kind of collapsing right now. They're 1-7 in February, four straight losses, and it's not even like the recent losses are to some better teams like Denver and Memphis and Houston, but they've also picked up losses to San Antonio, back-to-back losses to Portland in that stretch. The only game that they've won was against Utah, and that was an overtime victory, and it just feels like they've kind of fallen apart in Coach Budenholzer's first year. They're now 26-29 overall. They're 11th in the Western Conference, and when you have the star power of Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, I think it's kind of surprising to see how they've kind of collapsed in early February, at least.
It's really surprising for all the moves that Matt Ishbia made, the new owner out there in Phoenix, thinking, oh, I got this. Let me just trade 100 draft picks back to Brooklyn. Let me make some other moves. Ah, no problem. We'll take Beal and all his money. Well, guess what? None of it has worked. You bump out Frank Vogel, and here comes Budenholzer. Oh, we'll change it up. Budenholzer knows what to do offensively. Nope, that didn't work either. So it is very difficult to put together a winning team that can win consistently in the league. Guys, Phoenix has got to be the single biggest disappointment to me that there is going, because Kevin Durant, while he may not be the same player he was a few years ago, is still unbelievably awesome. And Booker is still a very, very good player. For those two to be at the top of a team that is kind of fading away here, who may not even get into the play-in, that is a sad state of affairs. And I think the next step in the conversation about Phoenix is what happens to KD this summer. Because we saw the rumors about trades. In fact, a lot of them had him coming out here to San Francisco. And was he going to end up being the guy that helped save the Warriors? There's no way he can sit in Phoenix really believing that they can win on any kind of high level. If they don't make the playoffs, the play-in, whatever, that will be the next storyline that appears
for the Suns.
Watching hoops here this season with the Pelicans, you know it's been brutal for us, just the injuries, inconsistencies. Play the guessing game every other day. Is Zion going to play or not? At this point, it's hard to even, you know, say it matters what goes on with his conditioning, just as long as he's ready for next year and healthy. For the final 27 games, what should we be looking for? Is it really just more development out of Trey Murphy and the rookie Yves Missi?
It really is. And those are the two names, the bright spots that I know we've talked about throughout the season. And you've got to feel good about them in the moment. But, guys, when you have – we're talking about a disappointment in the Suns. I just feel so bad for all the good people in New Orleans because I know people do care about that team, and they were so excited to see what it's become. I mean, you know, you got to figure out right, Willie Green, what happened to the front office. You've got all these different questions that they have to figure out off the floor. So it feels like, at least to me, all the stuff on the floor is kind of secondary until you figure out moving forward. I mean, on top of the younger guys, all these years later, however many years it's been since he got into the league from Duke at this point, I'm still watching Zion thinking, okay, well, can you string together enough games that we give anybody hope that going into next year that anything's really going to be different? So there's not a lot to like, but the reality is they have been a mess for a little while now.
Nick, man, it's always good talking to you. Definitely appreciate the time and enjoy whatever you got going on in hoops for you tonight, and be talking to you soon.
Always enjoy being on with you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Taking a break, we'll be right back giving you an LSU baseball update right after this on WWL. We are mid-eighth inning at Alec Box Stadium. The LSU Tigers up 4-2 currently over Omaha. Tomorrow's game, there's going to be a doubleheader due to bad weather on Sunday. They bumped up game two to both be played on the Saturday slate. So tomorrow at noon, pregame 11:30 on the Bet 92.9 FM and 1350 AM. You can catch game two. Game three starts at 5 o'clock, but we won't have that game for you because we've got LSU basketball tomorrow on the LSU feed. The Tigers are taking on Florida in the Maverick Center. That's a pregame of 4:30, tip off at 5 PM. And the LSU men's basketball game is on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. In a rough go, we talked about the LSU men's squad of this season, but the LSU women still having success. I know they've had some tough goes against the better teams in the league, but Kim Mulkey's squad at least will be making the dance this year again, and hopefully can, you know, make some noise and maybe have some kind of magic happen where they get back another national championship with Miss Mulkey leading the way.
Yeah, it is funny because you look at like the LSU women and we're like, yeah, they haven't had a great season, right? They're only 26-2.
Right, exactly.
You know, like that's kind of where you're at. But no, I mean, it's, you know, women's college basketball is funny because it, like I was talking about with the men, right? I feel like you could look at it and say, hey, there's like 20 teams that could potentially make the Final Four, right? In the women's game, it's maybe like 8. Like, there's teams that could go upset somebody or win a game, but when it comes down to it, there's maybe 8 that are legit Final Four contenders. Like, you almost never see a Final Four team in the women's game that's, like, beyond, like, a 3 seed. And even then, that's like, oh, okay. And the question becomes, are you in that 8?
Right.
Like, are you within that bubble of, like, a legitimate contender? I think LSU is, but there's always that South Carolina demon that I just, every team, like even UConn, the UConn women's team, they were so good for so long. Tennessee was always that team for them that it was like, I think they're going to lose to Tennessee. Then when Pat Summitt retired, it became Notre Dame and Skylar Diggins and, you know, Baylor was part of that too. And it's just like, there's every team has that like one foil that they just cannot get over. And even just like, then the longer it goes on, the more mental it becomes of like, I don't even know if South Carolina is markedly better than LSU, but I still don't think LSU's going to win when they play. This is kind of the waiting game. It's almost like I think the women's game is closer to the NBA in that we know who's going to be there in the end. We just kind of got to get to that point. And I fully expect LSU to be in the Final Four. I don't know if they can win a title this year, but I think they're going to make it.
Just three games left in the regular season for the Lady Tigers. They got Kentucky.
Well, we're getting there. It's almost March Madness time, baby.
Yeah, Kentucky, Alabama, and Ole Miss left on the women's slate. And then, of course, the SEC tournament.
Yeah, so that's every March we get to it. And, you know, me and Anthony Davis celebrate our birthday. We have the same birthday, in case you were wondering. And then I get to watch college basketball games nonstop. Because there's really no NFL news going on. It's kind of the dead period.
Right.
And so I watch way too much college basketball. It's my favorite time of the year.
I love the story that came out years ago that seeing that that's when March Madness occurs is when it's the time for men to get vasectomies that it goes up because you sit at home and just sit on the couch, you know, with a frozen peas on your groin.
So you're saying that it's a good time because you're going to be sitting around doing nothing anyway.
Right.
I took that the other way, which was that watching college basketball seems to encourage people to get vasectomies.
No, it's like, what better time than sit on the couch at home just, you know, to watch March Madness, so I might as well go get my vasectomy now.
That makes more sense than what I was thinking. I was like, something about college basketball just spurs that action. Like, it's got to happen. It's got, like, maybe you're losing bets. Maybe that's like the, you know, whoever comes in last in the bracket pool, they have to get that done.
Like punishment.
This conversation
kind of thing, right?
Took a weird turn.
Well, we'll get back on track. We'll take a break and try to, you know, put a bow on things as we send things off to Pelicans basketball coming up 7 o'clock pregame coverage, 7:30 tip off on WWL. We'll take a break right now though and refocus to close out on the right note here on WWL. Closing out our Friday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Bottom of the eighth inning in Alec Box Stadium. LSU up 4-2 over Omaha. The big news today though, the Saints getting another addition on their coaching staff, Brandon Staley in the mix as defensive coordinator. And now I guess it's going to be the next news will be him and Kellen getting together to fill out the rest of that defensive staff going into next week's NFL Combine. So things look to be pretty set in place for the team, for the most part at least, going into, you know, checking out all these prospects in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, yeah, filling out the coaching staff's important. I would imagine Brandon Staley has a short list of names of guys that he'd want to work with, and I'm sure they kind of combine on that and figure it out. But biggest question to me is, okay, exactly what scheme is Brandon Staley going to bring in here? Because, you know, I've watched some of the Chargers' defenses, and it's tough because it's like, okay, every defense coordinator, I think, has their scheme, but then you're going to adapt it to certain players. Right, so how much of what he was doing with the Rams, with the Chargers, was based on personnel versus rigid, hey, this is what we do type situations? Because if that's what it is, he's going to come in here and you're going to have to make some roster changes, and I don't know if you have the flexibility to do that.
Right.
Or at least not as much as you probably want to in year one. So I think he's probably going to have to adapt what he wants to do to who is in the building, and so I think that's part of the conversation. But that's – and then you're going to go into the combine, and you're going to try to find, okay, what do we need? What are the musts? You know, they're going to put that word cloud up there with all the red magnets, and it's going to be a lot of red magnets with must on the defensive side of the ball. So
a whole bunch of them, right.
All that is to say, you got 9 draft picks. What's the over-under on if you make all 9 picks, how many defensive players – are in that pool? Because I would say 6.5 is my over-under. Because I think you're getting at least 6 defensive players out of those 9. If you make 9 picks.
You don't think with an offensive coach taking over, head coach taking over, that he's not going to want to address that side of the ball?
No, because I'm the offensive guy. I can make it work. Like Sean Payton, there's a reason you drafted all these defensive ends with Sean Payton. Like how it was actually pretty rare that you went first round like heavy offense with Sean Payton. You were getting defensive players in a majority of the time. Because as an offensive coach, I think Sean Payton was like, I don't need you to draft me a first-round receiver. I can go find a receiver and turn him into something. Give me the second-rounders, the third-rounders. Whereas I want plug-and-play defensive players. And it was the opposite with Dennis Allen. He wanted plug-and-play offensive players. You ended up with Trevor Penning, Chris Olave, all these offensive picks. I think I'm going to go the other way.
Speaking of defensive players, Alante Taylor on Instagram today after the news of Staley, just unleash me. I'm going to make this stuff happen.
My dog says that all the time.
Taking a break for the top of the hour news and heading into Pelicans basketball, folks. Sorry, Pels at Dallas right after this on WWL.